with the worldwide head pastor, our brother Carlos Roberto Baena. We will be doing the introduction for our beloved sister Maria Luisa, and it is a great blessing to have her in the midst of us, and may God bless Central America and this beautiful country, Costa Rica.
That's right, Brother Andres, our Brother Andres Carrillo, International Supervisor of the Church. Between the two of us are going to make this introduction. We greet you with all our hearts. There was a brother who, a few days ago, had a dream before we came here today to this gathering. And he had a dream where he saw that he was walking in Costa Rica, and he saw many buildings that were very beautiful. And in fact, he saw a building that belonged to a worldwide organization, and that it was an extremely beautiful architectural piece of work. But he said, no, I must continue my way because this pales in comparison to where I'm going. And he continued walking along, and at the end of the path, it was here, the Bible study. Glory to the name of the Lord. There is nothing that can compare with this blessing of being here, gathered before the living God, with our sister Maria Luisa, the chosen one of the Lord, the anointed of the Lord, and with people who are full of love for God, like you all. Glory to the Lord. Let us pray to the Most High, and let us dedicate this gathering to our Lord, this glorious moment.
Blessed Father, Heavenly Lord, you, O God, are the greatest, most precious, most beautiful being that exists. Today, O God, we are congregating in this place, O Lord. And as long as we are in this place, we ask that you fill it with your presence. Fill it with your mercy, with your manifestation, your power, because you are merciful, great, mighty. And all of us, O Lord, all of us who are here, may we all feel your presence. Many with just our sister walking in have already began to cry and ask, why am I crying? But we all know that you are walking in to be with all of us. And today we want to dedicate the service to you, which is by you and for you, O Lord, so that you, in your infinite mercy, we may all leave delivered, blessed, and that there may be wonders and miracles here today. And great transformation of the hearts, of the thoughts, all with a purpose. The purpose of glorifying you, of loving you, of valuing. This is the opportunity that we have to attain eternal life. That's why, oh God, we want to give you this moment.
Yes, Lord, and to know we are going to live today what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, Lord. The Bible there states that when the Apostle Paul went to the churches, he said that he was not going to just going to come in speaking in tongues, but that he's going to come before the churches with revelations. And this is what we're going to live here today, Lord, because our sister Maria Luisa has come with revelations to Costa Rica and Central America. Glory to the Lord. And also, Lord, our sister has come as the Apostle Paul, Lord, taught. He has come with the doctrine, blessed is the name of the Lord. And our sister has also come with knowledge, hallelujah. Our sister has come here today with the power of God and the support of the Most High, with the calling of the Almighty God, so that the people of God and all the nations may be blessed, and may the Lord be moved by everything he promised since the beginning when he separated her for his service. Hallelujah! Glory to God! How proud we are! We love you! We feel proud of the church! We feel proud of you! Thank you, Lord! Because we are nothing. We do nothing for you to live and enjoy the things you allow us to live. Greatest Lord in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the glory and the honor and praise for the living God, for the invisible God, but the God we see in his wonders every day of our lives. Glory to the Lord.
the glory be to our God. And if we look at this verse, when our brother Carlos Roberto Baena was praying, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Something beautiful that we lived yesterday with all the pastors. And we want you to know, there was a meeting yesterday where we invited all the pastors here in Central America, from Panama, from El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. And something beautiful happened. We are living what the Apostle Paul announced here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. What do you say we all read it together? On a count of three. One, two, three.
But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, glory to the name of the Lord. There is everything, brothers and sisters, and that's it. We live this in the church. We lived it yesterday, as our brother Andres is saying. It was amazing the way our sister Maria Luisa, for how many hours?
4 hours.
Like 4 hours, gave a revelations as a prophetess. God took over her, the Holy Spirit failed her, and she behaved like a prophetess of the Lord. And with to each pastor, she taught what the Holy Spirit was placing on her mouth. It's like a dream, brother. It's the heaven, the same heaven, glory to the Lord. We have our sister today. She's going to teach us. When you're listening to her, many times, always, it is the Holy Spirit on her mouth speaking. That is the ministry of a prophetess. Praise it to the name of the Lord.
And glory to God. You may be seated.
And brother Andres, I just want to tell the brothers and sisters, I just have it at the tip of my tongue, and I just can't contain myself. Where is the true church of the Lord? Show me the church. Where is it? Show me the church. Wherever the church is, there must be tongues, because that's what the Apostle Paul said. Where the church is, there must be tongues. What else must there be, brother Andres?
There needs to be revelation. There needs to be prophecy.
There must be knowledge of God, because our sister Maria Luisa is a knowledgeable person of God. Sister Maria Luisa discovers, like a scientist and more than a scientist, what pleases God. And how we can receive the blessings of God. And also, she gives us, who better than her?
Every Sunday during the Bible studies, what do we receive? Doctrine. Very well, very well. And there's also something else. When we announce the things of God and we're not ashamed to say, I am from the church, God speaks to me, God exists, that is called proclaiming. Proclaiming the gospel.
That was a very beautiful revelation that the Lord gave. We're going to share with you two revelations God gave yesterday. And so that's one, which our brother Andres is saying. And we're going to sing hymns that mention that word, which is like that, to proclaim. That's the one. Proclaim the things of God. Proclaiming means to announce publicly so that it becomes known and everybody realizes, and we do not feel ashamed, as brother Andres is saying, that we are Christians, that we are in the church, happy that God speaks, that we feel proud, that we praise the Lord, and that we are the most blessed ones on this earth. Glory to God. That is to proclaim. Who among you wants to proclaim the name of the Lord? Raise your hands and see who is going to proclaim the things of the Lord. Because if we proclaim the things of the Lord and we do not feel ashamed of God, God is not going to be ashamed of us either, ever. That's important. If you do not say who you are or where you're going, one day when you pray to God, God is not going to defend you. We still have so much joy with everything that our sister taught us. But yesterday, suddenly, God, when we were telling our sister, there are brothers who were telling our sister that there is a mayor and a president. And when he was elected, he said, I thank God because he was the one who elected me mayor. And whatever I do is what God will allow me to do. Whatever I'm able to do, it is because God will allow me to manage it and achieve it. So when someone said that to Sister Maria Luisa, she said, how beautiful. He doesn't come to the church, but God is going to bless him because he is proclaiming the Lord. Imagine that beautiful word. And so, and our sister, Sister Mary Luisa, please pardon me, sister, but the gift of our sister is so beautiful that sometimes our sister says words, and sometimes she says, look them up in the dictionary, because that word God placed it in me, and it is a profound word. So we started to look it up, all of us together, to look it up, what it meant to proclaim. And then our sister said, all brothers, sisters, all children of God must proclaim the Lord, so that people will exalt God. Glory to the name of the Lord. That is what we must do. First revelation.
And also, when we proclaim the name of God, it's because we also have a spiritual identity. And when we have that spiritual identity, we make people respect the things of God. And we don't look down. We don't feel afraid. For example, there are people who say, oh, what are they going to say if they see me walking in a church where God speaks? They're going to make fun of me. But why? If you and I are winners, we have that great blessing of God.
Now with this teaching, we must proclaim God and we must not hide. As our brother Andres just explained, we cannot hide the fact that you come to the church or that God speaks or be or walk around fearful or scared or anything like that. But rather you must speak openly about the Lord without fear and evangelize many people. And that whenever God places people in our path, we tell them our testimony. And so we must quit any shyness and fear and proclaim the Lord. That is a revelation from God. That is what God showed yesterday. He took over Sister Mary Luisa, took over her mouth and taught us that. Glory to God.
And now we're going to continue singing hymns. We're going to sing hymn 81, The Name of Jesus. And there we will find that key word that we have learned today. So let us sing this hymn for the glory and the honor of God.
There we will see the word proclaim in that hymn.
Hymn 81.
The Lord, you are beautiful and good. Glory to God. Yesterday, there was a second revelation that God gave through our Sister Mary Luisa, Brother Andres.
It's this wonderful book. Who among you have read it? Raise your hand. Well, about half of you, maybe a little less. But yesterday, our sister Maria Luisa, or God speaking through our sister Maria Luisa, said that we must read this book spiritually. It brings many blessings because it is going to remove a lot of doubts. Many people ask themselves how the church started. If you want to know, you must read it. You want to know that you are here today? Because here, in the very first page, it speaks of you, of the promise that God made to our beloved sister Maria Luisa, to our brother Luis Moreno, that his church will expand throughout the world. And you, today, are witnesses that it is a true fulfillment. It is all written here for all of you to read it, but not to read it as a magazine, but to read it with understanding, rejoicing in what our sister Maria Luisa feels today. Because I know what she feels when she walks in and she is received with all that love. And she must say, this is a promise that I received over 50 years ago. You and I are a promise that God made to our beloved sister Maria Luisa. And today, it is a reality. Blessed is our God. I invite you all to read it.
And that this church, it's not just another church, but this church was born from a promise to four people that were every night praying and seeking God with their hearts, seeking the spiritual things. And God promised them what we see. And here, it's very full. There's a multitude of people, but if we think about the church, it is gigantic. And brothers and sisters, all the more in Central America, where there are so many churches from every religion, all the more here in this region of the world, you all must feel proud and know where you are, whom you follow, and proclaim to other people and teach them that here the invisible God lives, but the God who exists and manifests himself, and the God who fulfills his promises, just like he has fulfilled what our eyes see today. Brothers and sisters, anyone who reads the book experiences God will bless them. And we shouldn't read them once or twice, but several times, because this book is alive and is fulfilled. Glory to the name of the Lord.
Blessed is our God. And all the things of God are so beautiful. And God always, he has always taught us to proclaim his name. And I'm going to give you an example. If you're going to tell me if this is true or not. When we are in the teaching services, we sing hymns, we're praising God, then we have some choruses, we enjoy a sermon, and then what happens? There's a part in which we testify that God spoke to me and God fulfilled his promise to me. We are doing what? Proclaiming. When our brother also said, when you talk to your family members and your friends and you tell them that you go to a church where God speaks, what are you doing there? Whenever you give the glory to God because he opened doors for a job or because he healed you or because he gave you your husband, your wife, and you give the glory to whom? To God. You're proclaiming the name of our God because your family members, your friends, they hear you. Because there are people who give glory to their own ego. Oh, I have this because I am like this. Oh, I am intelligent. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I this. No, we, the children of God, we give the glory always to whom? And that is the meaning of proclaiming the name of God.
And I would add just one. Brother Andres has said everything. Whenever we praise the Lord, whenever you're praising with shyness, you're not proclaiming God. When you sort of open your mouth to praise God, you're not proclaiming. But when you praise God with the happiness, without apprehension, without fear, then joy, you proclaim the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And when we sing, just like we're going to sing, we're also proclaiming the name of the Lord.
And we're going to do so. Let us stand with chorus number 60. Glory and honor are for whom? For whom? So let us sing this chorus, chorus number 60. Glory and honor are for God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. What a blessing, huge blessing, Lord. We give you the honor. We worship you, Lord.
Church, glory and honor.
to God. Blessed is our God, because the glory will always be for him. We don't give glory to men here, but to God, to the God of the Bible, a God who lives, who is spirit. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And that God is mighty. And something beautiful happens in the church. What happens?
The greatest thing the church has, Brother Andres, is that the Holy Spirit moves about in our midst, that he helps us, transforms us, and we are not alone, because the people in antiquity were alone, but we have the Holy Spirit in our midst. Glory to the Lord. And there is a very precious chorus, 173.
It is titled, Where the Spirit of God Is. What happens? And God has brought us here to enjoy that liberty, to be able to love him and follow him and value him in order to attain what? Amen. Glory to the Lord. Let us sing this chorus.
With our souls, because God is among us. Glory to the Lord.
Oh, okay. We're going to sing it a cappella.
Very well. Our sister Maria Luisa. All right. Well, imagine this. Even better.
Glory to God. Blessed is our Lord. Before we give way to our sister Maria Luisa, forgive me, but I must share this testimony. And it has to do with our sister. Our sister doesn't like us to do this, but I do want us to value this great moment. About 2 weeks ago, I received a testimony from Vienna, Austria. In that testimony, to summarize, there is a believer who came to church. This believer came because he had a car accident. He lost his kidney. They had to perform surgery. They removed a kidney. He was only left with one. And he was very sad after that. A family member invited him to church. And the promise from God was, I'm going to give you back that organ. He received that prophecy and he said, well, they're going to give me back. A new kidney is going to appear. 6 months later, he got an ultrasound and he had the other kidney. Glory to God. But he heard that someone said, if God was able to do that, and he heard someone testifying and saying that they asked God for a spiritual experience, an experience with him. So he said he dedicated himself to praying, asking God, and said, God, you know what my greatest desire is? You who are the mighty God who allowed my kidney to appear out of nowhere again, I'm going to ask you for this wish. I want to live the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to be a part of those disciples. So he said that he prayed and he cried out to God. And at night, God appeared to him in a dream. And he told him, son, and why do you want to live this time? And he said, well, imagine that, Lord, to have the blessing of listening to the teaching from the lips of Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, it's not necessary. That is what Mary Lisa is there for. He also said to him, the Lord, I would like to see the wonders that our Lord Jesus Christ performed. And he said, well, that is what Mary Lisa is there for. And at the end he said, Lord, but truly, truly, what I want the most, what I desire the most, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to give me a hug. That was on a Saturday. That was when we were beginning the pandemic. And he said on the next day, on Sunday, our Sister Mary Luisa, during the live stream, we've all seen it, what did Sister Mary Luisa begin to do? Kisses to all the kids and a hug to all of you. And he said that all his desires were fulfilled. Blessed is the name of our God. So then, let us receive our beloved Sister Mary Luisa. May God bless you all.
A very good evening, my beloved brothers and sisters. From all of the places here in Costa Rica, Central America, the pastors and their wives, and also people who have come from different cities. I greet you with all of my love and with an immense joy in my heart, because the Lord has allowed me to come and visit you all. This visit I have planned from before the pandemic. We had in our calendar, it was scheduled to travel around these areas. And so we are going to delight ourselves and we're going to honor our God with our questions, with our answers, with the reading of the Bible. And in this way, we also honor our God. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. And also, I would like to greet warmly all of the brothers and sisters who are going to see us in this video from different places in the world. A greeting to you all. We love you. From here in Costa Rica, San Jose in Costa Rica, Central America. A greeting for you all. May God bless you. The honor and the glory is for our God, and we give thanks to God for his mercy. And I know that today the Lord has blessings. Blessings for you all. The Lord has blessings for you all. Those who are present here, he has blessings for all of those who are going to see us there behind this camera. God has blessings for all of these countries, for all of these places. In every place, there is a soul that God loves. Therefore, he takes care of his loved ones, his sheep. And since he has blessings for everyone, why don't we give him what he deserves? And he deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. He deserves praise. He deserves for us to proclaim his greatness, his glory, his existence. God lives. Glory to the King. He lives forever. God speaks to us. God speaks to us. God speaks, and I know that God is going to be delivering many hearts. He is going to be cleansing people's mindsets that the enemy is determined to destroy. But the Lord is going to be working wonders and miracles. And the Lord is going to be with you. And we give thanks to our God because he has blessings for everyone. Therefore, today we are going to honor the Lord, to praise him, to magnify him. Let's tell the Lord. Let us sing that chorus that says, "With prayer I come." Chorus, I'm not sure of the number. Chorus 159, and it says, "With prayer I come to tell you I love you. I have come to tell you, Lord, that you are the greatest." Is the name of our God. You may be seated, beloved brothers and sisters, and now we are going to begin with our questions this afternoon.
Sister, good afternoon. May the Lord bless you. Sister, my question is in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2. If you allow, it is in verses 4 and 5.
1 Corinthians 2.
Chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5.
Yes. Yes, brother.
May I read, sister?
Yes, brother.
It says in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Sister Mary Lisa, here the Apostle Paul leaves us an example that all people who realize the work of shepherding or teaching the sheep of the Lord should be people who teach with doctrine and with the power of God, that it is not with human wisdom, nor with some type of human knowledge or university studies, just as in past teachings you explained these verses to us. Now, Sister Mary Luisa, reflecting on these verses, I have a question. How can we achieve, or how can we obtain the goal? In other words, a person who would like to perform this work or is carrying out these types of responsibilities, how can he achieve the goal that he teaches in a clear manner that reaches the heart of each person so that the result of this work may be that the hearts of the believers may be perfected, and that there may be many, many people prepared for the service of the Lord, so that it may not be the opposite, that upon not transmitting the sermon adequately, that perfection is not produced in the believers, and they end up departing from the path of God. That is my question, Sister Maria Luisa. How to achieve that support or that blessing from God to transmit the gospel of God so that it can produce an effect in the believers. Sister, thank you greatly, and may the Lord continue to bless you.
Very well, brother. The brother asked me a lot of things. I don't know where to begin. In the beginning, I understood that you said, how can people discover or know that what they are being preached is the truth or not? But then the brother says that it's just that, what do you do in order to preach that gospel, as it says here, with the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, there were two questions, it seems. Nevertheless, brother, God is the one to make a person stand out. God, when he has a calling, for example, when God called upon Moses, he gave Moses a calling saying, you are going to bring my people out of Egypt because they are in bondage, and you are going to be the one to deliver them. Speak to the king and tell the king to let my people of Israel out of Egypt. And so Moses said, Lord, how am I going to speak to the king, beginning with the fact that I can't speak? I don't know how to express myself, let alone speaking to the king. How is he going to believe me? That can't be so. Do not do that, sending me to the king. I cannot do it. And the Lord said, he saw a rod and he said, take the rod that's there. He said that there was a rod there, and I imagine that it was made out of wood. And he says, take that rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. When he casted it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses said that he fled from the serpent. And the Lord said, take the rod again in your hand. He took it again, and it became a regular rod. And the Lord says to Moses, you see that I have the power to show that you are the one sent, and I'm going to support you and give you power. You are going to be working wonders and miracles before the king, and in such a way that the king has to believe your words. The king will have to believe you and obey your words, because you are going with the demonstration of the Spirit of God, of the power of God. Glory be to the Lord, that happened. And so today, in the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same. When the Lord appoints or makes a promise to a man or a woman and says, you will be an evangelist, a prophet, or a preacher, or a pastor, because I am going to use you and send you. And so what happens? God needs to give them the support so that people may believe. So that people may believe them. What did we do? We were just four people praying, and the Lord said, and out of these four, I will be forming a big church in Colombia and abroad. I'm going to make a very big church, and I'm going to bring the people. How were we going to believe the Lord? Or how were we going to achieve these things with our human power or our human abilities? God said, I am the one who's going to convert the hearts, and I will bring people and I will convince them. Who convinced you all, Maria Luisa or the Lord? Because if it was Maria Luisa, then it probably was because she presented herself before you with a machine gun or a rifle saying, you need to convert or I will shoot, right? But God entered your hearts without you realizing it. And God said, you are here for my flock. Come here to this church. Come to this congregation because I want to bless you here. I want for you to be here where many years ago, I promised four people that I was going to be forming a very big church. Therefore, you come here, you and you come here, and the Lord began to choose. That is the demonstration of the power of God. That is the demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord, which is the same as it says here. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of philosophy or human wisdom. It says, my preaching was with the demonstration of the Spirit of God. When you receive miracles and wondrous healing, when you receive benefits from the Lord, then you're not going to say, oh, this benefit was given by Sister Mary Luisa. It was the Lord. The Spirit of God manifested itself. He changed me and transformed me. I used to be a person with many vices and a sinner, but I'm no longer because the Lord came in my life and changed me. And I'm in this church. The Lord told me that He was going to be blessing me, and He put me in that place. And that is the preaching, which is not with human words. It says persuasive words of human wisdom or human intellect, but it's the power of God that makes each person convert each heart. Many people said that they did not believe or do not believe, and they felt hate against the church, against the people within it, the pastors, and God gives them a dream. God gives them a vision, an experience, and in the dream, the Lord speaks to them and teaches them. You need to respect, you need to love so-and-so and respect so-and-so because I have placed him. And the Lord puts in our heart that love. And so what the apostle lived is fulfilled. What the apostle Paul lived here, we are also living today. And I'm seeing this in this church. For over 50 years, the Lord made that wonderful promise. And today I give thanks to God that it's not with persuasive words or with human intellect, but the power of God, the promises of God, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gifts, prophecy, visions, and dreams. There are over 1,500 churches in over 60 countries because God spoke it. God spoke it. People don't know me over there. I've never been there. They don't know me there, but they know God, and God knows them. And God brings us together with one heart in the Spirit of the Lord. How great is the Lord, don't you think? The greatness of our Lord. That is His greatness. Very well. Let us continue. God is the one who acts. God is the one who works. We need to see the results. The results. A little while ago, in a country where people would gather because there would be elections held, there were public figures and religious leaders there. And the leaders give themselves titles, saying, this is Apostle so-and-so, and that one Apostle Joe. And that is Prophet I don't know who. And that is Apostle so-and-so. And that is Missionary so-and-so. They have all of these titles, Reverend so-and-so. And if we see these reverends and apostles, they have nothing of the Holy Spirit. Not even doctrine. They don't even preach the Bible or talk about the Bible because they say that the Bible is antiquated, that the Bible is useless. So they begin to talk about sociology, psychology, philosophy. They talk about politics and the problems that are found in countries or in their own country. And that is what they preach and what they talk about and teach. But they still have a title of an apostle. They are an apostle, Apostle so-and-so. Those are liars. Because they do not have the power of God. They do not have God's support. They don't have the Spirit of God. I don't know whom among you has the Holy Spirit baptized. I think that many of you have been baptized and given you gifts. And so you can say, well, I could call myself an apostle because I have the baptism with the Holy Spirit and I have the gift of prophecy. I could give myself the title of an apostle in one of their meetings because I'm going to show them that God has come to my life, that I have spoken in tongues, that I prophesy, and that God brings out what is hidden in our heart through my prophecy. And that is how I would show those people that we do have truly God's support and God's power with us to preach and to teach his true word. Yet they have titles, but they do not have the power or spirit of God. And we have the things of God without giving ourselves titles, because those titles make us uncomfortable. That's it. Why would we have so many titles? Why do we need all of this? We need to show God's love, God's power, and for God to work miracles and for him to support us, and that God may speak through us, and that he may give us good references, and that the Lord may say to people, yes, listen to so-and-so's preaching because I sent him, because I'm using him. That is beautiful, and that is what we want to live today. And that is what we ought to live, so that we may not allow ourselves to be deceived by anyone, by people who are deceitful and false, and they call themselves Christians, because that is the saddest part. They say they are Christians, but they have so many titles. But the Holy Spirit and prophecy, what is that? It's a scandal. That doesn't exist. But for us, it does, because we live it. Glory to God. Another question? Another question? Yes, sister.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Sister Maria Luisa, my heart marvels at your presence, and I thank God for allowing us this spiritual blessing to all the church in Costa Rica. We welcome you and your companions. I have two questions, if you allow.
Yes, sister.
The first question is in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 14.
Yes, sister. 1 Corinthians 14, 14.
We know that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues. And it is also a sign for when we are worshiping. My question is found in this verse when it states, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." According to this verse, sister, I interpret that praying is making a plea or a petition, a request to God. What I would like to know is that prayer, can it also be done in angelic tongues? And are they different from those of worship?
Yes, sister. When we are praying, we are praying to the Lord, perhaps we speak in tongues. To pray to God is to speak to God, to ask him for a petition, asking God for things. That is what prayer is for. We ask God for many different things, material things. We ask for spiritual things. We ask for money, for a job, for a place to live, our well-being. And that is what it means to pray. To worship God, there we dedicate ourselves to magnify God, to pay homage to him, exalt him, to say beautiful words to him about what God is, glorifying him, saying that he is so great and righteous. The earth shakes in the presence of God. The sea trembles. All of these are words of praise for God. When we are doing this, then we speak in tongues. Those of us who speak in tongues, there are people who speak a lot in tongues, more than other people. And so the person begins to speak in tongues. The Apostle Paul says this because he is the one who is teaching. The Apostle said that he spoke in tongues more than the other brothers and sisters, his peers, the apostles. He says that he spoke in tongues more than they did. And I understood that there are people that speak in tongues more than others. There are people who don't really speak in tongues. It's difficult. But in that moment, I'm going to speak about the experience that I've had. I speak in tongues a lot. I only think about the Lord and I begin to exalt him, and I have the tongues right there. So when I'm praying, the Holy Spirit takes over me and I speak in tongues. But sometimes I need to pray to speak to the Lord about problems, difficulties over the church, about people, praying for people when they ask me to pray for them. And I ask for people in my prayer. the Holy Spirit takes over me, and I try not to speak in tongues, but to speak my language to ask the Lord for the petitions that I have, my needs. So I speak in my language, and I ask the Lord. When I begin to worship the Lord and the tongues come, then that's it. I give free rein to it, and I continue to praise the Lord in tongues. But he is saying here, if we pray to tell the Lord about a petition, then I begin to speak in tongues, to ask the Lord to bless a family because that family has a problem, they're sick, and I want the Lord to have mercy on them and to heal them. But I speak all of this in tongues. Then it says that my physical side is unfruitful and that the spirit is the one that's being edified. So I prefer to, with my understanding, pray and ask the Lord for my petition and my needs. And when it comes to worshiping, the Holy Spirit takes me for the worship of the Lord and I praise the Lord in tongues. That is what the apostle is teaching here, that we need to be wise in this way. And so here he says, I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding, the same thing, because the Holy Spirit takes over you to sing in tongues. But in understanding, that is when we sing choruses and hymns. We are singing with our understanding that our flesh, our being may be fruitful. And if it's speaking in tongues, then we are unfruitful. We feel joy and happiness, but we don't understand what is it that was said. That is what the verse is trying to say there. Yes, sister.
Thank you, sister. My second question is in Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Sister Maria Luisa, I would like for you to teach me what the lifting up of my hands means.
Lifting up of my hands? Very well. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. In antiquity, the Lord told Moses to make some censers and with perfumes, with aromatic herbs, in order to make the censer and to present it in the moment that they sacrificed for our God. In antiquity, everything was physical. And the lifting up of my hands is the incense, because it says the priests every day in the temple, they needed to elevate the incense toward God, to move it so that the fragrance or the smoke would come out, and that was something God would receive because the priests would do this act. That is what it says here when it says the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. At that time, that is when they would place the incense. So here there is, it seems, a similarity in these words when it says, let my prayer be set before you as incense. In other words, that smoke rises to God. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In other words, what I'm doing for you. And at that time, it was the incense. Today, what is our incense? Our worship, what we do for God, our songs that we sing to the Lord, that is the gift that we are lifting up. Because lifting up my hands, we are giving as a gift, and we can give God a gift. It's not just the gifts that God gives us. God gives us gifts. They are called spiritual gifts, the gifts. But we also can give God a gift. Our worship, our song. In antiquity was the incense and sacrifices, offering of bread, the show bread. All of these things were the gifts or the offering given to God. Today, it is our worship. We are that sacrifice. Before, it was the sacrifice of animals. Now, we are that animal that is sacrificed. It is us. We sacrifice our flesh to please God, to turn away from evil and we sing to him. So that is the gift that we're lifting up in our hands to God. That is why God is pleased when we praise him and we sing to him hymns and choruses. When we read the Bible, we please God with this because that is the way in which we are presenting ourselves daily before our God. Very well, let us continue.
Thank you, sister. I wanted to mention what the brothers spoke about regarding the revelations given by Sister Maria Luisa yesterday about the book Experiences. A couple days ago, I was going through a very difficult tribulation, and I've only read the book Experiences twice, and so the Lord put it in my heart to read it again. So I read through it once again, and a couple days later, I had a dream with you where you prayed over me and you blessed me and delivered me. And after that dream, the tribulation was over. So I would like to testify to give honor and glory to God.
Very well. It's very beautiful. And sometimes the Bible says to obey is better than the many sacrifices. That's what the Bible says. For those who read the Bible, to obey is better than the many sacrifices. If God orders us, teaches us, and tells us, read the Bible, sing hymns, sing choruses, but also read the book Experiences, because in that book, we find the narration of how this church began. How did it begin? What did the Lord say? What did he speak? And that helps people so that their faith may grow more in the Lord, so that people may be motivated, that they may be filled with enthusiasm and receive the blessings from God. So that is why the book was written, telling how the beginning of this wonderful congregation came to be. Blessed is the Lord. Which was an order from our God. It was his order. It was something wonderful. Very well, let us continue.
Good afternoon, sister. Welcome to Costa Rica. It is an honor to have you here in this nation. I wanted to thank you also for those teachings on Sunday, now that you brought them up, because I came to church as a result of those teachings. And sister, I have two questions from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 18, 20, and 21.
Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 28.
Verse yes. 18, 20, and 21.
Yes.
I will read. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? Verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms, by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. Verse 21. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of my hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Sister, when we arrive to church, I've heard that we arrive with blindfolds and that the Lord delivers us from this. And my question is, if the promise made in verse 21 meant for the church, my other question, sister, is if those people that sow those magic charms in this time, who are those people that sow magic charms to hunt souls? And my third question, sister, is if we are now in church, could we again have blindfolds? And if so, how does one become blinded with veils? Thank you, sister.
In chapter 13 of Ezekiel the prophet, he is speaking to the false prophets. That at that time, they were prophesying falsely among the people of Israel. And it says here, reading the story, because here in Ezekiel, we find prophecies and we find historical parts where it says that there were false prophets and the priests themselves of that time would allow themselves to be used for idolatry, for sorcery, for witchcraft, for all of these things, in the temple that Solomon had built for God in Jerusalem. And so Solomon made that temple so that the name of God would be praised and honored, so that people would go there to give their sacrifice and honor the Lord. And they defiled it. They defiled the temple of Solomon because they brought the idols to the temple, the gods of the other nations. And there were women who were prostitutes at the door of the temple. And there, men would go to be with those prostitutes at the door of the temple. That is the way in which it was defiled. And also everything that we see here in this verse, verse 16, which I will read here in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 16, what they did at that time in Jerusalem, in the temple that Solomon built, it says, "The prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. Likewise," Ezekiel says, "son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people." In other words, against the people of Israel who prophesy out of their own heart, prophesy against them and say, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms." All of the women would do this. They actually would sew magic charms to lure men and everything concerning prostitution in the temple. That is where they did it. They would make cubicles in the hall where the actual action of prostitution would happen, where they would fornicate. And that is the way that they violated and defiled the temple of the Lord. That is why God destroyed that city and destroyed the temple and burned it. Everything was burned and destroyed because the Lord was very angry and there was a lot of death there in Jerusalem at that time. Because the Lord, they defiled this way, everything that they did. We need to read Ezekiel well, where we find everything that the people did at that time defiling the temple. And just as we were just talking about defilement, it says that, "Nevertheless, I'm going to read what the Lord gets angry about the defilement. It says, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies?" So all of these are the false prophets who would prophesy falsely and kill the innocent and to give life to evildoers. That is what they did. And in verse 20, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore, you shall no longer envision futility." He is speaking to the false prophets. "You shall no longer envision futility, nor practice divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Because the Lord here, in chapter 14, he talks about the punishment he was going to give them. And those who read the Bible, that is why it's so important for you to read the Bible, so that you can find there where God sent the army, the king of Babylon with his army, to go against Jerusalem, to go against the people of Israel, and to destroy them. And everyone fell and died by the sword. They died of famine and pestilence. The city of Jerusalem was besieged and the people died. And the Lord destroyed the temple of Solomon and it was burned down. The city was burned down. And it was only the remnant that God had chosen that were taken prisoners to Babylon to protect them, because out of them would come Christ Jesus. And that is what happened because of those false prophets. But if we're going to take this, what happened at that time, for us in our lives that we live today, as believers of the gospel, as followers of the gospel, if we are going to make a comparison and say, what would God do with us? Or in what way would we be defiling the things of God, as I said before, with sin? With sin, that is how we would be defiling. Because today, the temple of God isn't physical. The temple of the Lord is the heart of a man or woman who is dedicated to the Lord 100%. So it becomes the temple of God. And that temple, it says that is defiled with sin. So the Lord, in a part of the Bible, says, the apostle says, and he who defiles the temple of God, which you are, God is also going to destroy you. God says God will destroy them. In other words, the person who allowed themselves to be moved by sin after having received the spiritual things, receiving the gifts of having God, of having lived the manifestation of God in their lives, after having seen miracles and wonders, things in their lives, proclaiming the name of God, and the time comes where the devil then destroys them and makes them sin, and they sin and continues in that sin, then they defile the temple of God, which is the heart. That is the defilement. And so the apostles, they talk, the apostle Paul says, that if anyone defiles the temple of God, which you are, your hearts are, he says that God destroys the person. So if I defile the temple of God, God destroys me. He destroys me. For having defiled his temple, my heart had become into his temple, and I defiled it with sin. I committed sin, but I continue to do so. And I ruined all of that time that I fought to be with God and to please him. In one moment, I defiled it with sin. With sin, you defile. Look at everything that these people did to defile the temple. They had prostitution, idols within the temple, within the hall, cubicles for them to come and fornicate, because that was the honor that they would do for their gods. And they defiled. And today, our hearts are the temple of God. We need to protect ourselves, keep ourselves from not living a sinful life, to not live a sinful life, but to live a holy life so that our hearts can truly be that temple of the Holy Spirit. Very well, let us continue. Yes.
Good afternoon, sister. May God bless you. My family and the Church of Perez Celedón sends you warm regards. My question is in Galatians 3.
In Galatians?
From 16 to 19.
In Galatians what, sister?
3.
Galatians 3 from verse 16. Yes.
May I read?
Yes, sister.
It states, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And my question is as follows. If God, from the moment that he made Abraham the promise, he had already established the method of salvation, then the law of Moses only came because of the nations and people's transgressions. Did it have a more profound meaning? Could you kindly elaborate?
Very well. It says in verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? In other words, the law of Moses. It was added because of sin, of evil, of disobedience and the hardened hearts and the people's unbelief. There, I added to the word transgressions. That is what it means. That is what it entails. It says, till the seed should come, which is Christ, to whom the promise was made because God made the promise to Abraham, your seed, referring to Christ. And it was appointed through angels because it says that some angels presented themselves to Abraham and spoke to him by the hand of a mediator. And this transgression, it says that God, since the people were hard-hearted, disobedient, and since they were rebellious, because God tested the people when he took them. I don't know if you remember, the brothers and sisters who have read, when the people of Israel was in Egypt, when Jacob went to go live in Egypt with his 12 sons, and there was a people that was formed. They lived there for 430 years and they multiplied. And when they left with Moses, who brought them out of Egypt, out of that bondage, they leave Egypt and they arrive. And God says, you need to cross the wilderness to reach the land of Canaan, because that is where you're going to live. That is where you're going to have abundance and blessings. And God gave them as well commandments. When Moses was with the people in the wilderness where they lived for 40 years, God gave Moses the law because God saw that the people were hard-hearted. They were rebellious, stubborn, and unbelieving. And so he said, I'm going to give them laws so that everyone may receive their punishment. Since there were no laws, no one was punished. Everyone sinned, but no one was punished because there wasn't a law that would forbid it. And God gives the laws there in the wilderness with Moses. And he said, whoever commits an offense, they would be punished this way. They would be stoned. They would be killed. Everyone needed to be punished. And he gave them difficult laws that they were not able to carry through. They were not able to fulfill because of how difficult the laws that God imposed on them were. But God did it because he wanted to punish them for being rebellious and foolish and being hard-hearted, unbelieving, and disobedient. That is why he made this law. That law lasted up until Christ Jesus. When Christ Jesus came, then he removed the law. And he established a new law. He said, whoever believes in me, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Because they would have to fulfill many laws as well. They would need to turn away from sin and live a holy life. They would need to be obedient to God, love God, honor God, glorify Him. They would need to receive the spiritual gifts. They would need to preach, teach, and win over many souls. All of these things were the new laws or rules of our Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, which is what we live today. And the Lord said, but I am going to help you, because the people in antiquity did not have anyone to help them fulfill the law. Since they did not have anyone, that is why they did not fulfill the law. And that is why God also punished them. But I am going to be giving you a helper to my followers, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I'm going to give you a helper to help you so that everyone may obey and submit themselves and honor me and live a holy life. And that helper is called the Holy Spirit. Glory to our God, because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. Thanks be to our God and his new method of salvation with the law that God gave us, because the Holy Spirit is the one who is helping us today to press on in this path. Thanks be to our God. Last question for this evening.
Good afternoon, Sister Maria Luisa. Good afternoon to everyone. It is of great joy and happiness to be here this afternoon. And I have a personal question, but I will base it off a Bible passage, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2.
Yes, Sister. Romans 13, 1 and 2. You may read.
Thank you, Sister. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Sister Maria Luisa, my question is related to my profession as a doctor. I am employed at a hospital where I oversee numerous patients, and as a part of this, I am subordinate and work under my boss, who is a specialist. Often, many of the practices they enforce conflict with my Christian values and principles. Many times, the patient requires a specific treatment, but my boss's decision to deny it could result in a fatal outcome for the patient. My desire has always been to please God. And of course, based on this Bible passage, where it states that we ought to be subject to governing authorities, I would like your guidance on this matter when a medical decision is made. And as a person in charge, let's say I do not have the ability to make this type of decision, and I must instead adhere to the governing authorities. How can I avoid overstepping these governing authorities?
Well, sister, you need to fulfill your job and your duties. Do everything that is possible to help and to avoid for things to happen. But if you can't do it, it's not your fault. Because as you have said, you are under the authority of someone. So that someone says that, you need to obey that. Pray to God and say, Lord, help me. Do not allow for me to be there involved, for me to do these things. But what am I going to do, Lord? I would need to quit my profession, and we cannot do that. To quit and say, I'm going to change my job, because in the other place, it'll be the same job. So you need to pray and say, Lord, do not allow them to involve me, that this may not happen. Before I have to practice euthanasia, instead take that person. You can pray and say, Lord, take him, that he may die before I have to do this that they've ordered me to do. And I have to obey, Lord, but you know that I'm not going to do this. But you do have the power so that at this moment you can take his life, or you can heal them and the person can resuscitate. That, sister, do that and you'll see that God is going to listen to you. And God is going to answer you and support you, and he's going to help you so that you can press on in your job, that you can still continue. Do not worry, God is going to give you victories. Very well. Let us continue. Our God is powerful. God can do it all. To him, our lives are in God's hand. God gives life, God takes life. God gives health, he takes away health. God can give an illness, God can take it away. He does it all. So how are we going to make impossible God's power? We can't. Let's trust. Let us learn how to trust and to ask God for him to work the miracle before I do something that may offend him, that I know that he isn't pleased with, but they make me do it because I'm submitted to an authority. But God is power and he can do everything. For him, there's nothing impossible, and he always stands up for his children. My beloved brothers and sisters, thank you very much. May my God bless you all. May God, I know that you all, when you get home in these days, you will see the blessing that God has given you. You all will enjoy of all of the things you desired in your heart, of those petitions. And God is going to give you, God has given you the happiness that God is going to allow you to enjoy in the Lord. You are going to be experiencing, you will feel that you have been delivered from witchcraft and sorcery, from curses, And you will receive the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts. You will have experiences with God, and you're going to serve the Lord with all of your heart. The church is going to be greatly blessed in this place and its surroundings. Therefore, the Lord has poured upon you all showers of blessings. Let us pray to our God. And in our prayer, we are going to present ourselves with our petitions and needs, although beforehand God has already given them. But now you are going to say these things to the Lord. Everything that you need. We are also going to be praying for the sick. Pray for the people who believe they are suffering from witchcraft and sorcery. Although the Lord has already delivered, but he wants to hear from you, for you to speak to the Lord and remind the Lord that you suffer from this or that need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Father, Everlasting Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, our God, our Lord, you created the heavens and the earth, and you made us with your mighty hand. Everlasting God, you have looked upon us from before we were born. You have chosen us, you have called us, and you have placed us in this place before you. We are before your presence, Lord. We want to obey you. We want to love you. We want to glorify you, honor you. We want to do your will. We do not want to be stubborn like the people in antiquity, but we want to be your children, that you may be proud of all of us, because we want to honor and praise you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls. To follow your steps, Lord, we want to imitate you, Lord, to press on, triumph in our spiritual lives, because we want to please you with everything, in every step that we take in life. Lord, you will remove all of our suffering. You will remove all our spiritual bonds. You will remove all of the snares of the wicked one and all of those bonds that the devil has placed on some. The chains will be broken. The ties will be loosened. Evil will be destroyed in different people, in each person, with many evil works that many have been victims of. Lord, the devil's envy, the enemy's envy against many. Lord, you are delivering, cleansing, and breaking chains and bonds. You are giving showers of blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are seeing the hearts of each person, their petitions, their desires, their wishes, that they may be fulfilled, that you may bless them, that you may extend your hand, that you may put your mighty hand upon each person's head. Comfort them, deliver them, bless them. Give them happiness and peace, deliverance. Break that yoke of bondage from the enemy. The enemy has had many in bondage, but you, Lord, are delivering and breaking chains. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your word and your glorious promises, Heavenly Father. Holy Father, in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask that you extend your mighty hand, that you bless each person, cleanse, and that happiness and joy may rule over every heart, every life, and that suffering may be removed, that sadness may be removed, that depression may be removed, that bitterness may be removed, that you may be the one delivering and cleansing and removing confusion, making each heart and soul happy and cleansing them, remove doubt and unbelief. In the midst of these doubts or this unbelief, that you may be manifesting yourself in each person. Help them to solve their problems, Holy Father. Help them, Lord, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Bless all of the brothers and sisters here in San Jose, Costa Rica, everyone who has come from Central America, that it may be you blessing and your word just as you have spoken it, that you may have mercy upon everyone, that you may help give solutions and resolve many problems. Remove conflicts, that people may know you, that the world may know you, that people may know that you exist, and that you are a great God of power, a God of love, and a God of mercy. Thank you, my Father. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. We praise you. Blessed and praised is your name. Chorus 169. Jehová, y muy digno de ser alabado en la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo, hermosa provincia, es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad. Ciudad del gran rey, grande es Jehová y muy digno de ser alabado en la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo. Provincia es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey. Glory and honor be for our God. Thank you very much. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much to you all. Thank you all, brothers and sisters. And until next time, may my God bless you. And thanks be to the Lord for everything that you are going to be receiving or have already received the benefits from our God. Thank you very much. See you soon. May my God bless you all as well. Thank you.